Hi, I'm going to talk a bit today about what magic is and perhaps more importantly, what magic isn't. And I'm getting a little bit, I suppose, a little bit annoyed that there's quite a few posts out there on social media saying, learn magic in a week, take my course, you'll learn magic in, blah, 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 blah. Magic takes a long time. Sometimes a lifetime of learning before you can really, really understand what it is. It's like the same with learning anything that's going to be valuable to you. Take, I don't know, Spanish. I think Spanish because I've been learning Spanish recently. So I could say, I will teach you Spanish really quickly. Here's the word for good morning. Buenos dias. There we go. You can speak Spanish. Off you go. And you'd probably do quite well to a degree. You could walk around the streets in Spain going, Buenos dias. Some people would nod and smile and go, Buenos dias back, until you find the one person that doesn't. And that one person might want a conversation, and then you'd be lost. Or what if you tried saying Buenos dias and it was nighttime? It just wouldn't work. And it's the same with magic. Everybody has to start somewhere, and Buenos Dias is a good place to start. And in magic, there are small spells and little things you can do to build on your knowledge and practice and gain experience. But if you want to be really good, if you want to be able to call yourself a powerful witch, it's going to take probably years. Yes, it took me about 6 years maybe before I had what I would call my awakening. And that was quite quick. So sometimes it can be quite a long time before you can say, I'm really knowledgeable in what I do. I'm going to call myself by the title witch. A long time, but worth it. So, what happens first? Well, quite often you start with manifesting. Now, manifesting is simply, in basic terms, thinking of something you want, concentrating on it to such a degree that eventually the universe will provide it to you. Now, I have a bit of an issue with some of the books like The Secret that say you can manifest anything, and if you don't get something, you're doing it wrong. That's not how it works in the magical world. First thing that I ever manifested, I was 6 or 7 years old, and it was at a school. I think it was a play, and after the play, they had a raffle. And in this raffle was a camera, and this seemed like an incredible prize to a 6-year-old, a camera, and I wanted this camera. For the whole time the play was on, and afterwards, when they were running the raffle, all I thought about, all I concentrated on, was me getting that camera, holding that camera, what I would do with that camera. Guess who got the first ticket drawn in the raffle? Me. And I only had enough pocket money to buy one ticket, so my ticket was chosen, and I won that camera. That was the start, I suppose, of my magical journey, although I wasn't aware of that at the time. Now, you can manifest all sorts of things. I usually say to newbie witches, little beginners, go for a feather. That works really well in this country because feathers aren't so commonplace you're going to see them everywhere, and yet they're not that unusual that you're never going to see one. So start with a feather. Think about a feather coming into your life. You're going to cross it on your path. When the time is right, you will see that feather. Now you have to be vigilant, and you have to do what we call working in accord. So in other words, when you're doing anything magical, you can't act in a contrary way. So, for example, if I was working a spell to, I don't know, lose some of my tummy, I would have to act in accord by eating sensibly. I couldn't go out and eat, a packet of donuts every half an hour or something. Well, I don't think I could eat a packet of donuts every half an hour, to be honest. But you know what I mean? You have to work in a course. So don't try and manifest a feather and then don't leave the house for weeks on end, because it won't work. Feathers are particularly good for a number of reasons, not only the ones I've just said, but also they can be messages from your past ones. So your loved ones that are sadly no longer with you may often send a little token just to show that they're around in the form of a feather. And I know when my father died a few years ago, there were just feathers everywhere. And I went through a whole spell of about 2 weeks where every morning I opened my front door and there was a feather on the doormat. So manifesting. This isn't going to be about manifesting, but I wanted to touch on it because it's very often the first thing we start with. And then again, when I started really concentrating and studying on my witch journey, I was comparatively young, and I was a single mum with two very small children living in a rented house on benefits. And I'd read quite a lot on witchcraft. I set up my circle, I did my spell, and it was a manifestation spell. And I didn't want to start with a feather. I thought, I'm going to really test this out, really see if it works. And the one thing I wanted, it was a small thing. I knew not to choose anything impossible, but the one thing I wanted was a vegetable rack. That may seem really odd, but I really wanted one. No hope of buying one with my measly benefits. So I manifested a vegetable rack. I put so much thought and energy into this. I'd spent weeks collecting all my bits and pieces ready for the spell, and off I went. I did my spell in the evening when the kids were in bed, and the following morning, I opened my front door, and sitting right on my doormat outside the front door was a plastic yellow vegetable rack. There it was. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, I know better now, but at the time it was revolutionary. I've actually got my vegetable basket. I mean, okay, it obviously wasn't new, but it certainly wasn't perfect. It wasn't the natural type of material I had chosen, but there it was. And I suppose if I wanted unequivocal proof that witchcraft worked, that was it. And that was the start of my journey. I've got much better at it lately, but as I say, that is another story. So, magic, what is it? What is it? Well, it is a way of life. It is a way of living your life. It becomes a part of you. Is it a religion? No, it's not a religion. Now, many witches, myself included, choose to be pagan because pagan has a really strong connection to the earth, and that's what magic is all about, working with the elements, working with the universe. So a lot of witches are drawn to paganism, but you don't have to be a pagan. I've met Christian witches, I've met Hindi witches, I've met witches from practically every continent, country, creed, race and religion. So it is living with being a magical being and not a religion. So how do you start on witchcraft? Well, you take baby steps. The first thing I would say is you have to learn, probably first of all, to protect yourself. And I will do a whole session on protecting and how to protect yourself in basic ways. Dictionaries have quite a narrow view of witchcraft. They tend to say things like, I'm just reading one here, power or influence seemingly coming from a supernatural force. That's a dictionary definition given by Webster, but if you look up Oxford Concise Dictionary, you'll find it's very, very similar. They're all much of a muchness. Aleister Crowley, a notorious occultist. He died in 1947, gave us a huge body of work to read through and study. He defined magic as the art and science of causing change to occur in conformity with the will. Now you have to think about that for a little while. And it was also Aleister Crowley that added the K on the end of magic and brought that into regular use. I must point out that there had already been a K on the end of magic in times gone past. So there was a document in 1651, which was written by Cornelius Agrippa. And in that he spelt magic with a K on the end. And the only reason that Aleister Crowley brought that back in was to distinguish magic with a K, real magic, the magic we're talking about here, from stage magic and tricks. There were a lot of trickeries around in the early 1900s with people faking spiritualism and occult things. So it's to distinguish real magic and ritual and ceremonial magic, the real stuff, from stage magic. And that is why we add the K on the end. I know it's becoming popular to spell magic in all sorts of ways now, to spell it with D's in and I's in, and you know, that's okay. So if you want to write it like that, you can. The thing is with magic is it's a very personal journey. It's about following your intuition. Intuition is vitally important in witchcraft. And it's about following what you think is right. If ever you think something's wrong, don't do it. That includes if you join a coven and they, for example, tell you to do something that you are very uncomfortable with or you feel is not right, walk away. Don't do anything or be pushed or cajoled or bribed into doing anything that you feel uncomfortable with. Magic is all about going with things that you have an affinity for. There are many, many things you can practice within witchcraft. You won't be good at all of them. We say a good witch normally refines two skills, and my particular skills, for instance, are pendulum and attracting people into my life. I am particularly good at those two things. Whereas my friend, who is also a witch, my best friend Jen, she is particularly good at tarot. She's a very, very gifted tarot reader and reads for some quite famous people. And though that's one of her gifts, which is different to mine. I don't specialise in tarot at all. That's not to say that I couldn't do it. I could give a tarot reading if I really wanted to, but it's not my particular gift. You'd be far better off with a pendulum with me. Do you need fancy tools and a big herb collection? Box of crystals, do you need all that? Well, yes and no. Confusing, I know, but some of the strongest witches that I've read about or know don't use anything much, or use what they have to hand. So, you know, they might cast spells instead of a wand by using their fingers. They might have a wooden spoon that they use. They might have things that are in and around the home that you probably wouldn't even see as magical tools. But the vast majority of us do find tools really useful, and a lot of people either make their tools or they collect tools that are naturally made or have been handmade by somebody else. And that is possibly the best way to gather a tool collection, because they are useful, very useful. As for herbs and crystals and colours and all the other bits, you don't need them, but most spells will work far more effectively if you do use them, and I'll tell you why. We call these things correspondences because you pick and choose them to correspond with the spell that you're casting or the ritual that you're working. Correspondences, again, we'll talk about that in more detail later. But correspondences, the actual act of picking and choosing and gathering and collecting and using and focus, it draws your attention in over a period of time, and the success of a spell will live or die on your intent and the power that you give it. So correspondences, by choosing these things appropriately and gathering together, will really help to maintain your focus. So I think I've given you a little bit about what magic is, hopefully, and a little bit about what it isn't. My name is Karen Lowen, otherwise known as the Witch Crone. I'm founder of Witchbox, the subscription box company, and a walker on the magical path. I wish you all good luck and blessings. So until next time, blessed be.